Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for our nation. We know that this is our adopted nation, Australia, but Father, we thank you that there is a special relationship, Lord, between the two nations, oh God. Father, thank you, Lord, that during the physical war, Australia and PNG were together. And Lord, this is in the spirit now. The things that we see in the spirit and the connection that you have, Lord, placed before us as people of the kingdom of God. Lord, we know we belong to a kingdom, but we live on a land physically that is Australia. That is our adopted nation, the nation that has adopted us, most of us from PNG, and as many from different parts of the world as well. Father, this morning I stand with the people of this nation, First Nation people, visitors of this nation, Father, those that are the naturalized citizens. Father, we thank you for this nation. As we stand together as kingdom citizens, praying together for this nation, praying for this area of the Pacific, oh God, the great south land of the Holy Spirit, that you have given it to us, Father God. And your promise is that wherever we stand, that place becomes holy ground, because we carry your spirit and we worship your spirit, worship you in truth and in spirit. Father, I pray that many will capture this reality, oh God, of living kingdom lifestyle. Many will capture the reality of the Holy Spirit and what you spoke about and what you came to establish, that is your kingdom. I pray may your kingdom be established on this earth, Father, as you have wanted it to be. I pray that your will be done on this earth, in this country, in this city, that you have placed us in as the ones who will watch over this nation, the ones who will watch over this city. I pray and I thank you that Holy Spirit, you continue to guide us by your power. For we know it is not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God that we are able to achieve your purpose and your will on this earth. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Watch over your word to fulfill it in our lives. Let your word, O God, transform hearts, O God. Let the fire of your word, O God. Lord, that you will watch over your word to fulfill it in our lives, Father. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word, O God, will last forever. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, O God, that guides us in every situation, O God. Father, I pray for every man, woman, and children today. As we come to celebrate this wonderful culture that you've given us, which is our culture of PNG, but we know that there's only one culture, and that is the kingdom culture. And I pray that each and every person here today will understand that. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. All God's people answered and said, amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your neighbor and give him a nice big warm smile and a hug if you can. Or you can get up and go there and give him a hug. You know, don't be frightened of them. They're not crocodiles or big jaws that will swallow you. Go, give them a hug. Shake their hands. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And the Lord is good and? You got it. Praise the Lord. They got it. Papa God, they got it. Now we can move on. Hallelujah. Well, my message this morning is on the principles of independence. Amen? What is independence? Well, the message title is that freedom from sin, but dependence on God. We are not independent because we want to be independent from God. We are independent so that we are able to be free to worship our God the way we want to worship Him, the way He wants us to worship Him, that we can still live on our land that He gave us, hallelujah, and that we can stand strong on that to stand in partnership with those who have lost their land and those who have not don't have what we have. You know, Papua New Guinea, you got to understand that our people do not measure success through material things. You understand that? Success comes when you have something that you have been born into, that is your heritage. That's to us, it's success. Not material, not a new car, not a house, not education, not all those things. Those things are part and parcel of the blessing of God. But you as a person is the greatest gift from God. This is a great message to coincide with our independence celebration, and it has some powerful principles that we must apply in our lives in order to be truly set free. Amen? Right from the beginning of time, God had a people that he calls his own, people that abide by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Similarly, today, near the end of time, he has a people who still meet those qualifications. At a specific point in time, God singled out a nation that he called out his people, that if they remain faithful to him and obey his directions, they would be an example, a spectacle to the world of what God can do for a man who fully surrendered to him. With this blessing, there would be an avenue through God that he would woo the rebellious world back to himself. Alternatively, if they rebelled or they themselves rebelled and went the way of the world, they would meet the same faith as those who reject God's offer of life. That's, I'm talking about Israel. But you and I are the spiritual Israel. Amen? Amen. God wants a people, specific people. And and when Mama Evelyn was singing this song called, what was the song called? Model Nation. That is a prophetic song. It's a song that's calling out Papua New Guineans to model themselves to the kingdom of God. That this book becomes our constitution. Amen. That we live our lives by that book. Not the laws of anyone, but the laws that come from this book. Amen? And that is who God wants us to be. I want to start this message this morning by saying this. We, all of us, must stop transferring blame to Satan for our irresponsible behavior. Independence or freedom comes with a price. And it is not a cheap price. Somebody paid for his life, for salvation. Amen. Jesus paid everything. God gave everything that you and I can be free. And one of them is mismanaging our own lives. We mismanage our lives, then we blame it on Satan. Hello, somebody. Yes. We're so good at mismanaging our lives, and then we find somebody to blame, and poor old Satan gets the blame every time. Hello, somebody. We will mismanage, if we continue to do that, when we mismanage our own lives, we will mismanage other people's lives to a point where you will destroy them and yourself. Young people of PNG, listen to me very carefully. You're in a very lucky country, a blessed country. Not because you're good at what you're doing, but because it's the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God that brought you here. Amen? Amen? And I want you to understand that whilst you're here, you've got to understand that God is the only one that you can look to for everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Not your education or not your knowledge. You don't find God through your intellect. You find God through your faith and your heart. Hallelujah. God put Adam out of what he put him inside because of mismanagement. Adam mismanaged the garden. God says, thank you very much. Out you go of the garden. And we must put these principles in our lives all the time. See, I like giving principles to you. I don't live my life just being floating around over spiritual about things. This book is a constitution of your life and my life in the kingdom. God never brought religion to us. He brought the kingdom of God to us. Jesus never brought religion. So if you're religious today, I pray that this religious mindset will be broken in your life today. Hallelujah. Religion is the enemy of God. Religion is the enemy of Jesus. He fought religion and spoke about religion to his death on the cross. So that you and I can be set free from that. It wasn't the world or the sinners who were his enemies. It was the religious leaders. Hallelujah. Some of you are praying for things that you can't manage yet. Hello, somebody. That is why your prayers are not answered. Oh, hello, somebody. Because you are not what? Qualified yet to manage that. Adam mismanages the garden. God says, out you go. Now, we've got to understand God's principles. Sometimes when you pray and something doesn't happen, you are not ready for it. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that you're praying for, if you are not qualified or responsible enough to handle it, God is not going to give it to you. Hello, somebody. Independence is that. What are you independent from? You should be set free from sin and so dependent on God for everything. Hallelujah. I said to the music team, if Centrelink shuts down tomorrow, oh, hello, somebody. If Centrelink shuts down tomorrow, that's your faith. Centrelink is your faith. If it shuts down tomorrow, if government stops giving you money, what are you going to do? What kingdom are you going to live in? This kingdom of God should be practiced inside the church. Now, not tomorrow, now, because we are living in the time that the kingdom now must rise up. The constitution that we live by must now become active in our life. It is not just the book you read. The four first books of this book is a political book. It's about a nation or a kingdom. Bible calls us a citizen of a country that doesn't belong to this earth. Hallelujah. If Centrelink closes down, where is your faith going to be? You know, I hear people go, oh, praise the Lord. I was really blessed today because, I went to Kmart and I bought, a nice dress. And it didn't fit me, so I took it back and God did a great miracle. I received all my money back. That's not a miracle. That's a store policy. They give you back your money if the clothes doesn't fit you. Hallelujah. So we need to start truly seeing the miracles of God, the hands of God, the manna from God. That's a good one, eh? Oh, I love that one. I used to wonder about that until I discovered the principles of why my prayers were never answered. The point and the principle behind today's message is this. According to Jesus, let me just read this wonderful scripture. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Sorry, I didn't put that up on the scripture references, but let me just read it for you. He says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust also in much." According to Jesus, this is how God thinks. He said, if you are faithful with little things, then he will make you ruler over much. Ooh, hallelujah. I want to say this. Get organized for what you're praying for. Get organized for what you're praying for. Pray for what you know you can manage. That's what independence is all about. I know we're doing it tough in our country because our politicians haven't quite got grasp what God wanted for the nation for PNG. And the same for this country. See, we need to stand and pray for the nation and pray for the leaders of this nation because you are here because of this nation. You're sitting around in your nice, safe house because of this nation. You're getting great education from the colleges and the universities of the nation. Pray for this nation so that it stays free, that you can still enjoy what God has blessed you with. Hallelujah. Don't for 1 minute take for granted that everything is okay because it's going to be okay. Responsibility is a heavy word to some people, but it is vital for our lives, our children's lives, our walk with Jesus, and our faith. God, from the time of the fall of man, has been trying to get us back into the position of responsibility. That's a good leadership message here as well too. Hallelujah. There are many people who are now being raised up by God to take responsibility for the generation they are living in right now. You are here to take responsibility of the generation that you are supposed to be living in right now. Most of them were never in Egypt. They still got the smell of it. They're all products of oppression. The oppression of sin. Nothing is worse than living in the present with the mind of the past. Nothing is worse than living in the present now, saved, going to heaven with the mindset of the past. Many are still carrying this. God did something in the wilderness that you and I must understand. I'm going to give you some great principles. The children of Israel was a type of church, as well as the type of your personal life. Even Jesus refers to them and Paul refers to them as well in the reference to our personal salvation and our experience with God. If you study them carefully in this book, you will find some very important principles, and I want to give you three. There are three different phases to freedom. A lot of people are free, but yet they're still trapped inside the mindset of the past. Number one, they were in bondage for 400 years, in slavery in Egypt. Everyone was born in Egypt. Egypt represents bondage. You and I were slaves to sin under the bondage and slavery under which we could not set ourselves free. They were trapped under that slavery for 400 years or 4,000 years, and they cried out to God, the Bible says. Number two, God delivered them from slavery and bondage, and God does the same thing to you. You and I were born into the sin and iniquity, trapped in bondage, slavery to Satan. We were trapped as sinners. You don't become a sinner, you're born into it. Everybody is born into sin. If you have not given your heart to Jesus, you are born into sin. You're still in sin. You understand? Until you give your heart to Christ, then you are set free from that bondage. You don't go into sin, you're born into it. That is why the Bible says you have to be what? Born again. Jesus said you have to be born again in order to understand the kingdom that he is talking about. People with the mindset of the world will never understand a born-again person's thought or how Jesus thinks. So you cannot change a human being by adjusting his behavior. He or she needs to be born again. That's the Spirit's job. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except through me. And then he says, but no one can come to me except by the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot come to Christ if the Holy Spirit doesn't bring you to him. That's why when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're stuck. Because he won't take you to Jesus, and Jesus won't take you to God. That's why that word in the Bible, when Jesus said, when you blaspheme, you can sin and talk against Jesus, that's fine. But when you talk against the Holy Spirit, that's the power that brings you to salvation. If you speak against him, then it is impossible for you to get to Jesus, and it is impossible for Jesus to bring you to God. Remember that. Hallelujah. That is why psychology can change the spirit of a person. I mean, psychologists and psychotherapy and, you know, psychiatrists, these are wonderful science and wonderful professions, but they can never change a soul. A doctor cannot change your soul. That needs the blood of Jesus. The people to be born again by the Holy Spirit. So when God brings you out of slavery, personal or corporate as a nation, hello PNG, or as a people, he brings you into deliverance. Deliverance is not freedom. Hello. When you are delivered from something, that's not freedom. I'm going to say it again. You didn't hear me. Deliverance is not freedom. You're not free because you're delivered. Don't confuse deliverance with freedom. When people are delivered, they did what Miriam did. He was dancing and praising God and getting so excited because she was delivered from that. But freedom is another thing. He brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, but he didn't take them to Canaan. Why? Stay with me on this one. On one side of the wilderness is the Red Sea. On the other side of the wilderness is the River of Jordan. And in the middle is the wilderness. Everybody say wilderness. Amen. Wilderness is good for you. Amen. It is a great place for you. On the outside of the Red Sea is Egypt. On the outside of Jordan is Canaan, promised freedom. And in the middle is our friend, the wilderness. And for you to make it through experience of true freedom, first you have to pass through the first body of water, which is the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Have you noticed the first body of water was a miracle? The people did nothing. God did everything. God opened the Red Sea, fought for them. They did nothing. He was delivering them out of bondage into the promised land. But before they can get in there, they had to be inside a place called the wilderness. God opened the waters and they walked through on dry land. The Bible says their feet never touched the water. It was a miracle they got through. Then God saves you and delivers you. It's all him doing it, 100%. Hallelujah. Do you get me? When you get saved, that's not you. That's not your works. That's God. That's the Holy Ghost doing that. People are dangerous because, you see, delivered people are dangerous because they haven't changed. Hello, somebody. If you're delivered, you're not changed. Your mindset is not changed. That's why you need the wilderness to change your mindset. Amen. Hallelujah. So God had to take him through a training process through the wilderness to try and take Egypt out of the mind, out of your spirit before he lets you into Canaan. The wilderness is designed to get rid of Egypt. Hello, somebody. Yeah. If you're sitting here and still got Egypt in your mind and in your spirit, then you need the wilderness to get rid of that. Yeah. Hallelujah. And God doesn't want you to be in there so he can bury you in there. See, if you have something that belongs to Egypt and you don't want to get rid of it, you will be buried in your own spiritual wilderness. I am so serious about this because it is principle in the kingdom of God. Sometimes you want a certain group of people that didn't seem to progress anywhere. They've been delivered for 3 years, but they're still complaining and murmuring. Israel was like that. They've been delivered, but they keep complaining, blaming the past, blaming everybody else, transferring responsibility to somebody else. Instead of saying, it's my fault. I made the decision, I'll shoulder blame, and I take it. The same thing is true of you, and it's true of Jesus. See, if you're a person of that character, you'll be buried inside the wilderness. If you're a person that complains, talks about people, complaining about church, complaining about the leaders, murmuring, and boo, 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 boo. You will never get anywhere in life. God is going to bury you inside the wilderness until you start to get Egypt out of your mindset. Then Jesus came. The Bible says the same thing is true of you and it's true of Jesus. When Jesus came, the Bible says he was born of woman, born under the law. He was born under the curse so that he could free those under the curse. So here was Jesus, born under the same limitations of man. Not only that, he was also born under the physical oppression of the day. The Roman emperor was the oppressors of the Jewish people that day. Jesus was a slave in that area, in that time. He was under the regime that took power over the people. They had to pay their taxes, they had to carry their shields, they had swords, and they had to do all those things that the Roman government wanted them to do. They were slaves. And yet Jesus didn't just sit there and get mad. Hello, somebody. Watch Jesus now. He grew up, learned his lesson, submit to the authority, to his parents, took on the manhood responsibility at the age of 30. He went to John because he wanted to start his assignment in ministry. Some of you guys want to just do it because it's a good idea. It's never a good idea in the kingdom. It's only the right idea inside the kingdom. If you think it's a good idea, that's not from God. Hallelujah. He walked up to John and said, John, I need to go through the first body of water, my first body of water. I spoke about it last week. John says, no, I have to baptize you. Jesus said, get it done because I need to obey and walk in some principles. So he goes through his first body of water, baptism. And as he goes through, the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove. And when you go through the first body of water, you are delivered by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, as he came out of the water, the Spirit of God came upon him. And what did the Spirit do? The first thing the Spirit did was lead him into the ministry. Lead him into the wilderness. So he took him into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by who? The Spirit of God. You mean the Spirit of God that can lead you into trouble, out of trouble? Yep, same Spirit. Same Holy Ghost. God will not trust you until he tests you. God doesn't trust our minds. Our hearts, our spirit and our soul saved, but our minds are still in bondage. And God cannot trust a mind that has still got Egypt inside. Hallelujah. He saved your soul, but your mind is not good and not ready. Why? Well, the Bible doesn't say, for as a man believed in his heart, so is he. The Bible says, for as a man what? Thinketh in his heart, so he is. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Believing and having faith brings you into the kingdom, but thinking is a total different ballgame altogether. To succeed inside the kingdom of God, you have to have a mindset change. That's what the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind by the word of God. This book washes your minds. If you are watching pornography, no doctor can save you from that. Young people, listen to me. If you got your phone right now and you're looking at pornography and all those pictures, nothing can save you except the word of God. Nothing can change you except the word of God. Not just young men, young women too. This book cleanses your mind. And that's what God wants for the kingdom. People who walk inside the kingdom need to have a mindset change. Our minds have to be renewed by the washing of this word. Hallelujah. Nothing, no psychologist can save you from anything. If your marriage is in trouble, no marriage counselor will save you from that. I always say, if your marriage is in trouble, stop praying and go and read the word and see what law you have broken inside the kingdom and get it sorted out. Because once you pinpoint principles, your life starts to get better. The word of God is, Jesus, my words I speak to you is spirit. And we say we worship him in truth and in spirit. Well, his word is spirit. And if you always abide by his word, you'll see the power of the spirit happening inside your life. The world has taken a lot of this, the sting of the word of God out in people's lives because they live by the world's standard. But this word, the Bible says, this word will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will always go forever. The Bible says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 22. Transform means to change. That means if your mind has not changed, then you have not changed. If the spirit is changed, that's great because the spirit belongs to God. He owns that. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before you were even a thought to become a baby inside your mother's womb, God knew you. He created that spirit. That belongs to him. That spirit goes automatically back to God. He owns it. But the body goes down, but the soul is the one that the devil wants all the time. The battle is not against your spirit. Your spirit's saved. If you're not saved, then you're in trouble too. So you need your spirit, your mind, and your soul to be saved. Hallelujah. I don't care how you shout and dance, and preach and speak in tongues. If your mind hasn't changed, you still have not been transformed. Hello, somebody. God will take you through the wilderness, and everybody in this room has to go through their own wilderness. I don't care how great your vision is or how awesome your purpose is. God won't let you start until you've gone through the wilderness. Hallelujah. What's in the wilderness? He said he took him there to test him. There are three tests that you must pass before God can trust you with freedom. One, test of appetites. Hello, somebody. That's all of them, including your sexual appetite. Hello, somebody. We've got men and women of God rushing into ministry, can't wait to get a church started, and they can't even put their loins under control. Oh, hello, somebody. I saw a storm coming through there. Now, come on. What do you want a church to listen to? This is what church is all about. This is what the kingdom is all about. We deal with things that are reality of our lives. Ministry is not something for you to just put a little title on your head and walk around like somebody. You are representing God. And then represent him well. Hallelujah. That is why there is such a disgrace in church. We got anointed heads with anointed loins. Oh, that's a good one. Anointed heads and unanointed loins inside church. I hope it's not in this church. I hope that we become the church that Jesus built. Are we the church that Jesus built? He said, I will build my church and no gates of hell shall prevail against that church. And that church is held together by the Spirit of God. God had to test your appetites for food, for control of your appetites, to make sure everything is under control. That is the first test that Jesus had to pass. Second, he says, the second test you must pass is the test of power. God will test you to see if you just want the power. Because everyone wants power. Everyone wants to build church to have power over people. They want to be seen as people that they want followers. You know, the greatest leaders in the world are the ones that work themselves out of the job. That's what I want to do in this church. Work myself out of this job so that we can raise other young men and women in the ministry that they can carry on. Hallelujah. I'm not here to take this church till Christ comes back. That's not my job. My job is to conduct an orchestra inside the church. Find gifts inside the church and support it as they go. Amen. Hallelujah. I will give you all these that you see if you worship me. This is what the devil said. You'll be somebody important, tempting, that's found in church. Can I suggest that when you pass your test in the wilderness, he will take you across the Jordan to your promised land. Amen. Hallelujah. According to scripture, God did not take them. True, because for 40 years, he tried to change their minds. Slavery is a dangerous thing. Oppression is an awesome thing. When they came out of Egypt in the wilderness, they were still complaining. Why? Because they didn't understand that with freedom comes, what? Responsibilities. They come together hand in hand. In the wilderness, the miracles were free. Provisions were free. Sponsorship was free. Free McDonald's, Centrelink, free clothes, free health. Everything was free. Education free, everything. That was in the wilderness. God says, because I'm still trying to get Egypt out of you, I'll give you this for free. That's God doing everything for them. You know, when you first get delivered, everything was free. When everyone is delivered, life is wonderful. Remember when you first become a Christian? When I became a Christian, I can speak and things happen. Hallelujah. I remember one time there was a party next door and we were trying to pray. And someone said, just catch that thing and it'll blow up. So I did. Father, in the name of Jesus, blow that thing up. Boom. The radio shut down. I got a shock. Then I realized, when I start to understand, yeah, when you pray for something, when you first come to God, everything is coming. And then suddenly the manna stops when you've grown up inside the Spirit. Hallelujah. You used to pray for toothpaste, then toothpaste just appeared. No, that didn't. I mean, you can just believe everything. You were just like on fire for God. I can pray for anything, it'll happen. Even sick people get healed when you pray and you get shocked. Because that's God doing his work in you to build your faith and your character inside the wilderness. Hallelujah. You pray for money and somebody would just give it to you. Young Christians, God was answering your prayers. He'll give you manna. He'll give you water from the rock. He'll give you clothes. He'll give you shoes, all for free. But there comes a time when God says, that's enough. Time for some responsibilities now. That's why I said to the young woman, if you're going to go and find a husband, this is what you do. You get this from your father of this house. First, you ask him if he's got a vision. Young man, if you're going to marry somebody, have a vision. Okay? Yes. Because I'm telling you, if you don't have a vision, you will ruin your family's life. Young women, ask them, have they got a vision? Number two, have they got a job? Hello, somebody. And if they don't, tell them to go and get a vision, get a job. And I always like their head, get their hair cut at the same time. Get a vision, get a job, and get a haircut. And come and talk to me about marriage. Ooh, come on, you daughters. Come on. Yeah. This is it. See, I don't... I've adopted a lot of daughters in this church, and I will tell you exactly what your father is not telling you. Oh. Go and tell your father, oh, Pastor Ben said that. Yo, that's good. I'm serious, because I talked about the fathers on Father's Day. Do you get some principles from that message? It's powerful. In deliverance, God will feed you and clothe you, quench your thirst. And he will do it for free in spite of your behavior. Hello, somebody. Yeah, grace. Oh, we can do that. He's going to forgive us. That's God's goodness and grace. But there comes a time when he will say, that's enough. In deliverance, God will wink at your behavior. He will literally turn his eyes away from your disappointments. He will actually feed you even through your grumbling and your complaining. He clothes you even through your murmuring. Because in that period, he knows you are still thinking like Egypt. There comes a time when God says, it's enough. You've been out here long enough. Now time for some change. But do you know, if you are never willing to change and cross the river, God will bury you inside the wilderness. And that's not because he wanted to. That's you burying yourself in the wilderness because of the way you are. God's given you everything. That's why I liken this idea of coming to this country and having everything. And don't let that everything spoil you. One day, it's going to go. One day, it'll stop coming. One day, you go to check your account and it'll be zero. Just like my account. I've learned to see zeros all my life. I'm used to it now. I'm serious. Because I've learned binary. Zero is an unknown number. All you have to do is just add one, and that's, you know, add as much as you want. Two, three, four, you got money in the bank. We used to do maths, something called a speed test, and then the teacher will give us these 10 questions that you got to do in like 5 minutes or 5 seconds. So, and it's got to be quick. I'm not a very good mathematician, so I'm just jotting down numbers. And every time we get the marks in, I get zero all the time. I had a friend who always gets zero. He's my desk mate. All of us get zero every day, zero out of 10. Everyone else gets 9 out of 10, 7 out of 10, 10 out of 10. Ben Akalitz, 0 out of 10. And we used to look at each other and go, that's binary. That's an unknown number. Teacher doesn't know that. We know what number that is. As long as it's 0, as long as there's something there that's tangible, it is something. Amen? So if you go to your bank and it's 0, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I still got 0 in there. Oh, Jesus. Turn with me quickly to Joshua chapter 5, verse 2 to 9. And I'll just wrap up this short principles here. I'll just read that through. I think it's going to be on the board, yeah? On the thing. The Bible says, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath, Araloth. Now, this is why he did it. He did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out and have been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. Wow. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died. Since they had not obeyed the Lord. This is a powerful principle. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us. A land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place. And these were the ones that Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. Verse 8 says, and after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Hallelujah. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. My friends, God made sure that anyone, everyone who couldn't change their minds stayed in the wilderness and died. But God can keep a person alive who he knows can change. He will keep them alive so that he can get what's in their loins. I talked about the generational curses that we men have come through because we men carry the seed. That's why I encourage you to go and check the generation you came from and see what kind of people they were, because that curse can come down all the way through. Now God wanted something from the loins of the man that of the people that he left in the desert, and the new generation came into the promised land. God kept his people alive for 40 years because there was a generation inside of them that he wanted to take to the promised land. Secondly, God didn't allow them to be circumcised in the wilderness. Why? He didn't want anything from the wilderness to be in their bodies or mark on them that they entered freedom. That's why I said if you have something in you and that something doesn't bring truth to you anymore and doesn't align itself with the Word of God, get rid of that something. I don't care what, if it's your grandfather's totem or something that your father used to have or your mother used to have, and they give it to you. Get rid of it. If it doesn't bring the truth of the Word of God and the Spirit of God to your family, get rid of it. Reproach. The Bible says in verse 9, says, he said, I did this to take away the reproach of Egypt from you. Reproach means shame. God wants you to forget slavery. He wants to cut it off from you this morning. Some of you are still carrying Egypt with you. God is saying, I want to take the sting of it and the memory of it, take it from you so that you don't remember it anymore. Hallelujah. The reproach has to be taken off. There are some people this morning in deliverance but still feeling like they're in slavery. There are many of us in churches today. God wants to circumcise your hearts. That's what the Bible says. All over again. He has to change the way you think to get you out of that mentality into the kingdom mentality. Hallelujah. Verse 10 to 12 says, on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrate the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day they ate, listen to this, some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain, the manna stopped. The day after, they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna from Israel or for the Israelites. But that year, they ate the produce of Canaan. They are now inside of Canaan. They are eating. And after the first meal, the Bible says the manna stopped. That is where we are right now, church. The manna stopped. God is saying, I appreciate your claiming and your naming. All your bless me, and bless me this, and that God. He says, those days are over. I want people who are now going to look for manna, no more, but will be looking for management and responsibility. Hallelujah. God cuts the manna off when you grow up. He is now making them responsible for providing their own clothes, their own food. See, in Canaan, the clothes started to wear out. The shoes started to wear out. The water never came from the rock ever again. And when they got to Canaan, God says, every city, you must fight for it. Everything. If you need something, fight for it. You want your freedom? Fight for it. You want your independence? Fight for it. If you want your family to be safe, fight for it. Where do you fight? In your closet, in your prayer room. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't just sit and say everything's going to be fine. Somebody else is praying for me. You are responsible for your family. Fathers, I said before, go and get instructions from God, come back and run your family. Mothers, receive instructions from the father. Father receives instructions from God, and the mother transfers the instructions to the children. Father goes to work, comes back, makes sure the instructions have been given. All is in order in the house. That's how we live our lives. Freedom means fighting time. If you want freedom, you got to fight. If you want independence, fight. Freedom means you got to dig your own wells. You got to plant your own corn. You got to develop your own strategies. God said to Joshua, chapter 1, he says, I will be with you as I was with Moses. God is so wise, he made sure Moses didn't go because he knew that Joshua would be in charge. God never used the same strategy with Joshua the way he used with Moses. Moses stretched out the rod over the sea and the water opened. Joshua was told to walk across the Jordan. Everything changed. Hallelujah. God was doing everything for them until they get to Canaan. All the enemies in the wilderness, God fought for them. When they got into Canaan, God says, now every man, pick up your sword. Every man, women, and children, read your Bible. Pick up your sword. Time for fighting. It's not time for waiting for God to drop you some manna from heaven. This is it. This is fighting time. We're in the season to fight. Hallelujah. All the enemies. With Moses, I worked for him. But with you, God says, I'm going to work with you. God was working for Moses. With Joshua, and you and I, the generation of Joshua, God works with us. Not you just do everything and you sit down there and go, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. No, you have an obligation to live righteous before God. Amen? He's paid the price, made the way for you. You get up and you walk righteous before him. Some of you are still wanting God to do everything for you. Aha. God has created you to be a responsible person and he wants to teach you responsibility. It's time for you to read the Bible for yourself. Don't let no TV evangelist make you read your Bible anymore. Hello, somebody. If you're always watching TV evangelists, stop and go read your Bible. You don't know what they're teaching you. You got to pray by yourself. Responsibility time. Don't let any preacher try to get you pumped up and talk about giving and being blessed. And when you give because you love God and give, not because you want to get blessed. God is not our pinball or what do you call it, a poker machine where you put something in there and gives you 10. put one in there, gives you 10. God is not that. God is not your ambulance driver. When you're sick, you need him, you pray for him. You pray to him. You pray to God every time. In need and not need, need, you pray. Hallelujah. God is not a paramedic to you, come to you every time you need help. God is not your doctor every time you need something, he comes and sees you. Your relationship with God should be with a doctor or without the doctor. Amen. That's responsibility. Hallelujah. God wants people who are responsible now. He wants people who are going to do it because they know it's right. Amen. The manna dried up and it never came back. Friends, I got news for you. People like slavery because slavery, you don't have to be responsible. Oh, hello, somebody. We love slavery because we don't have to be responsible for anything. The government takes care of us. Listen, the government is in this mindset of slavery right now. Yeah, I said it. And if we don't watch out, we're going to be slaves in our own country, in our own nation. But freedom comes with responsibility. What's your responsibility? Pray. When we call for prayer inside the church, come, because that is your responsibility as a kingdom citizen to come together and pray, because you know, because if we don't pray, something is going to happen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ died on the cross to set us free from slavery of sin. He paid the ultimate price for your bondage of sin and slavery. When you give your life to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, Bible says you're saved. After that comes the task of mind change. The reason why Christians are still living like the world is because they have not had a mindset change. They're delivered but are still thinking like slaves. I want you to understand those principles and start to walk in what is delivered from the pulpit to you. Amen. Take it on and say, Pastor, I'm going to, from this day on, pump up my prayer life. If you don't know how to pray, come here and we'll teach you how to pray. Pray is not just some steps that you got to do. It's conversation with God. It's your communication with the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Angels are waiting for you to pray. When you pray, they move. Hallelujah. God is behind everything you do if we start to become responsible for what he has given us. Be faithful with the small things so that you are able to be managing bigger things. Amen. Hallelujah. My friends, that is an independence message for the Papua New Guinean families and people, but it's also a kingdom principle for our lives as Christians and as people who are of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Pray. Close in prayer. If you need some prayer, if this word has done something in your spirit, then take it on board. You know, the heartstrings has always been pulled by the Spirit all the time. And when it's being pulled, it is God saying, you got to do something about this. You got to do something about this. There is no time to wait and say, oh, salvation is tomorrow. Salvation is today. You don't own your life. Life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. He gives it and he takes it whenever he's ready for it. We don't have a say in anything that he's given us. But because his grace and his love and his mercy and his purpose for our lives allows us to be able to continue, live and breathe and have our being in him, to be able to do what he has called us to do. Your first and foremost priority is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Your job, your school, all that, the Bible says, it will be headed unto you when you seek first the kingdom of God. Young people, put that principle into practice today. Yes, all right? It's like putting the horse before the cart. The car cannot go without an engine. Seeking God and his righteousness is the engine that moves the car. And it's the same for a donkey that pulls the cart. Sometimes we put the cart before the donkey and the donkey can't go anywhere because the cart's in front of him. And those principles are so powerful because when you change your mindset and start to walk in that, you start to see things happen inside your life. Most things that I bring to you are principles of the Word of God. Because I believe that there's a kingdom coming that Jesus is going to rule and reign. Amen. You know, when the concept of lawlessness, when I read the Bible and the Bible says lawlessness, I thought it's the world that's become lawlessness. Let me tell you something. It's not the world that's become lawlessness. It's the church that has become lawlessness. The church using cheap grace to bring cheap grace messages to people that they have forgotten to truly repent for their sins, come before God, and walk and abide by His word. That's what's happening inside the church. And it is not lawlessness outside the world. It's lawlessness. Jesus said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Or in other translations, says, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Those who don't abide by His word and walk in His principles and precepts, God doesn't know you. Why? Because you don't have a relationship with Him. Kingdom is relationship. It's not religion. It's all about relationship. Amen. It's all about Jesus saying, "Enter in to your rest." Amen. That's the words that you want to hear from Jesus. That's why being born again is the first step of getting delivered. And then from then on, you walk with this word that will wash you and transform your mind and renew your mind every day when you read the Bible. And the most important thing, young people, change your friends. If your friends are leading you astray, you have the power to change them. You don't have to be cool because they're cool. Cool is not having a nice haircut and dress up. And I mean, the coolest guy is the guy who has Christ Jesus in his life. That's being cool. Because out of the devil doesn't care if you're cool or uncool. Devil wants your soul, whether you wear good dress, look good, no teeth or big hair. Devil doesn't worry about that. As long as he gets your soul, he's won. So it's good message for you young people today. I know I'm seeing a lot of you today, and I'm talking to you as a spiritual father to you. I talk to my children like that. So when you come to this church, you will get it straight. It's not going to be bouncing all over the cutting corner and about the pining place where talk. And become straight to you in the yixin. Amen? I'm blessed that you're here to celebrate with us. I'm seeing some new faces, and I'm saying welcome this morning. Welcome, young man. This is, if you want to grow in the Spirit, grow in the things of God, this is your place. Come and grow here. Come and bear fruit and become strong in the things of God. Larim all man looking fruit, sinana, pisin bakam sinana fruit, not the man. It's not fruit, them nice fruit. And because life blew you, I'm good blow, I'm passing to water and stuff. What I'm coming to Jesus, you know, come to Narbla man. So, I'm all this something now. Kiss him. God, I'm blessing you, and then good luck walk, good luck school, good luck place you stop, safe. Kiss him, good luck education. So, you go back, but you can't believe me. But so, you stop lawyer, you become a blessing to this nation. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. God bless you. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your people, and thank you for our children. Lord, that we've adopted so many young men and women who are spiritual fathers, as children to us. Father, I stand on that principle, oh God, that Jesus did. When He stood there and He says, "Now you may call my God your God and call my Father your Father." Father, I pray for those who are here today. Thank you, Lord, that they will understand principles. They will be men and women of principle, oh God. Integrity, oh God. That they will do the right thing when nobody is watching. Hallelujah. That they will be people that will be responsible for what you have given them, oh God. Because they are free. They are set free, oh God. Free from the works of the enemy. But they are able to, Lord, dig up their own wells, oh God. Build up their own cities, oh God. Build up their own whatever you've called them to do. And establish your righteousness and your holiness inside their life, inside their families, oh God. Inside their workplace, inside their business, Father. I pray that, Lord, your glory will be revealed to each and every person here today that have received this word, oh God. I pray, Father God, that we will be people, oh God, of responsibility. Oh, Holy Spirit, we know that we cannot do anything by the power that comes from you. And I pray today that this church, God, will become a church. That when people see people inside this church, they know that we are people of responsibility. That the freedom that we have received didn't come cheap. It was paid by a heavy price. Papa God, Jesus, you hung on that cross of Calvary, naked before public. You didn't go into a nice private club and somewhere private where nobody can see you. You didn't die in a prison where only a few people came to watch your execution. You died in public amongst sinners and thieves. Hallelujah. Father, I pray your people will be like that. That they will come before you humbly to say, I am here. Here I am, Lord. My life belongs to you. I want to say this sinner's prayer with you. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, I want you to lift your hand. I want all the church to lift their hands up before God this morning. And I want to say this prayer with everyone. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to me. Jesus never came to bring religion. Religion, but bagara mi na killing you. Religion, I mean, no got something to life blow you straight. You may got to come to religion. We all came from there. But we've been set free. Religion is a bondage. It is an oppression. It is the same thing that I'm talking about today. But God came to establish his kingdom and sent his son. Whatever Adam lost in the garden, Jesus restored that on the cross and gave it to us. Hallelujah. I want you to say this prayer after me and believe in your heart, the salvation prayer. Say it aloud. Close your eyes and lift your hands before God this morning. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. And the way that I have turned my back on you. I come to you now. And I repent of all my unrighteousness. In my life. I turn away from it all. And I turn to you today. Your word says that if I come to you. In repentance. That you will forgive all my sin. Lord, I come to you now. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. To pay the price in full. For all my sin. I receive you now. As my Lord and Savior. By faith, O God. I receive your blood to wash me. And to make me clean from all sin. Jesus, from this day forward, you are my Lord. Lead me and guide me, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, so that I can walk with you every day of my life. Thank you for receiving me. I'm washed. I'm clean. I'm born again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've said this prayer today and you want to come and see me, come and see me, because the things of the Spirit is the thing of the Spirit. The Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of high places. What we did today was Spirit. Hallelujah. You got the Holy Ghost now inside of you. Now you need the fire inside of you to be able to carry you through life. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Shalom, shalom, peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything restored and made whole, well, and complete. In your body, soul, and spirit. In your marriage, in your health, in your education, in your relationship with your husband and your wife, your children, your friends, your boss, your business. Nothing missing. Everything has been restored. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Give your neighbor a hug. I five, six, I six. If you've got six fingers.